broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our 2 of 2. Our goal, always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. James Edwards with me, 2 hour special broadcast. James Edwards, well-known author, political talk show host, and personal dear friend, I might add. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips, plus incredible articles and commentary on all things race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century. James does a great job. Personal dear friend. Love to have him on the radio with me. Last hour we broke down. Jury pronounces Derek Chauvin guilty on all charges. We'll get into that in a minute because I want to discuss what does all charges mean. I believe they stack the charges to guarantee a conviction, but I don't understand how it's third degree, second degree, and manslaughter, and I don't understand. Don't they overlap? How do you say they're guilty of all? It's kind of like I'm saying, you know, you're guilty of eating too much. You're guilty of imbibing too much. You're guilty of swallowing too many things. You're guilty of overeating. You're guilty of, and I just kind of play games and ratchet this thing up, acting as if they're separate charges, but in reality, if you're guilty of what, second-degree murder, are you guilty of third-degree murder, too, and manslaughter, too? What I mean is you can slice and dice the terms and but at some point you're grasping at straws. At some point you're throwing spaghetti on the wall, as we like to say, and see what sticks kind of a thing, and we'll get into that. But Nancy Pelosi, Ocasio-Cortez, Michael Moore, other Hollywood scenarios, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Reverend Al Sharpton. I was thinking of Reverend Jackson, too, but this is Sharpton. All literally reacting in very interesting ways, basically saying, hey, this still isn't justice. We haven't seen enough. We got to basically jettison policing as we know it. The war and the fight is not over. Everything they're saying is ratchet up to the next level, ladies and gentlemen. They're not saying, you know what, we're so sorry this happened. You know, thank God that there's justice. We could disagree on that. But, you know, do they have a humble attitude of, I'm so sorry this happened. This is horrible for everybody involved. This is horrible for the nation. I hope now we can have some healing. Later we might have some discussions about greater police reform. And, you know, are they going like that? No, they're literally waving the flag of we have conquered. We smell blood in the water, and we're moving to the next stage. So here's my headline. I repeated it last hour, but I want to say it again. And then I want to ask James Edwards a question. Hopefully I've set the stage for this hour well enough. Reverend Al Sharpton reacts to the verdict. The war and the fight is not over. Protesters already taking to the streets, but Michael Moore and Hollywood celebrating and saying we got to have the end of the policing as we know it. You got Nancy Pelosi literally saying, thank this guy for sacrificing his life. You kind of wonder if others will get in the game and do suicide by cop and sacrifice their own lives in the, quote, next stage. So here's the statement and then the question. Sam Bushman, communist rhetoric ratchets up. The next stage of rage takes center stage. What's next? James?
Obviously more of the same, Sam. We talked about this in the last hour. They are only going to become more aggressive with their demands and more emboldened that they will be able to get their way no matter what the evidence, no matter what the facts, no matter what reason and common sense dictates. They can put enough pressure. And this is what happens when you don't have any sort of law enforcement, and the laws are not applied to certain communities based upon political correctness and the narrative and racial dynamics. If you can go out, I mean, imagine, Sam, we would never do this because you were listing the qualities that typical conservatives or Trump supporters in the context of what he said at the Capitol versus what Maxine Waters said this week. Tax-paying, God-fearing, hard-working family people, we would never go out and engage in any sort of illegal activity because we love our families and we need to be here to provide for them. If we did, you can imagine, if me and you took to the streets, Sam, and we started burning down Apple stores, like the Apple, the software store, the iPhone store, if we started doing any of the things that we've seen everybody else do, do you think we'd get coddled? Do you think we'd get congressional and judicial concessions? Do you think we'd be held as heroes? I mean, the riot is the voice of the unheard. No, the laws would be enforced in that case, as they should be. But what's going to happen? What's coming next? More of the same, and it's only going to get worse. And that's what happens when you don't have discipline. And that's what happens when you allow people to get away with it. They're going to take more and more and more. And we even saw it. I was watching again Fox News for a few minutes after I went to do an interview, or rather before I went to do an interview last night about this, immediately after the judge read the verdict, they went back down to the streets where they had their street reporters on Fox, their correspondents, and of course that's when we heard that everybody was celebrating like, you know, the Lakers just won the NBA championship or whatever. But they asked one of the people, point blank, they said, you know, what's your reaction to this? How do you feel about this verdict? And this thug, I mean, he'd have to be a thug to answer it this way, said, yeah, I'm going to go have a beer and celebrate now instead of jacking up the streets. In other words, he was there to do exactly what we figured he was there to do. He was there to engage in lawlessness and to engage in anarchy if he didn't get his way. And he said, matter of fact, point blank, to the reporter, I'm going to go have a beer now instead of jacking up the streets. Now, what does jacking up the streets mean? Well, I don't think you have to have too much of an imagination to figure that one out. And that's why those people so immediately assembled outside of the courthouse. And, of course, it's easy to do that when you don't have to work for a living. But there they were. I mean, within minutes of it beginning to hit the wires that a verdict had been reached, still about an hour and a half before the verdict was actually read, there they were. They were there. They just spawned up out of the ground, apparently, Sam. And they were ready to burn down Minneapolis. And you would have seen widespread riots in the cities across the country. And if you don't think that factored heavily into the verdict, I think you're wrong.
It's a sad tale to tell, but here's the problem. I mean, I appreciate that this issue is supposedly over, but I don't think it's over because I don't think it's even about Chauvin. All right? I think it's about their divide agenda. I think it's about their intentions, right? And so what I mean by that is, what's the next case? Who's the next name? How long will it be until a shooting happens or whatever?
You're killing it.
Okay, then it'll be another name, another game, another scenario. But same rhetoric, same agenda, same riot in the streets, get rid of the cops, same communist playbook, page 2, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. And every time, it gets more bold and more in your face and more violent and more ratcheted up rhetoric and more and more and more and inciting of violence. And every time it gets faster, harder, more. When will it stop? Okay, it's not going to stop because the conservatives just go, oh, golly, that's too bad. I don't agree with the verdict. I'll go back to my soccer game. I better go back to work now. I better buy myself a nicer kitchen in my house because none of us take it seriously enough to do any good. We'll elect the same bureaucrats and professional do-gooders that have done it again who will do it more. Okay, we don't change the game, people. And therefore, you keep doing what you've always done, James, you're going to get what you've always got.
Yes, exactly. And Sam, I was, yes, of course, excited to interject there because you're knocking it out of the park. It had nothing to do with Floyd and Chauvin. I mean, they were just placeholders in the narrative in this case. It has nothing to do with them personally. And when the next case comes, or whatever case comes, where you have, it could be another situation like this, where you have a career petty criminal, street criminal, who is resisting arrest, who is loaded up. Whenever there is another accident, let me put it this way, and the races fit the media's narrative, you got to have the right perpetrator, and you got to have the right police officer, and you got to have the right victim. You got to, you know, it's all got to line up just right for the narrative. But when that happens again, they will follow this to the playbook. They will follow this playbook. They won't say, well, yeah, we got this verdict, and you know that shows that the system works. I mean, it shows to me that the system doesn't work, but if they're not saying that. They're saying nothing's changed, and it's on to the next one, and that's it. And if the system worked, you wouldn't have the city of Minneapolis and surrounding areas preemptively boarding up stores and government buildings because they were fearful of the mob. They know they're dealing with a lawless horde, which doesn't accept reason or logic. That's the nature of a mob. If the system worked, you wouldn't have to board up buildings in advance of a court decision. That's mob rule. That you should have a normal police presence that is able to police a city and keep a city safe and keep property safe. But you don't have that because you can't enforce the laws against these people. They don't like it when it's enforced. The media gives them cover, and the media is out to get the cops to enforce the law in these situations. And if you can't enforce the law, that shows that the system is broken. And they haven't been enforcing the laws. They didn't enforce the laws for a year. They would have allowed them to riot and burn cities unimpeded last night if the verdict had gone the other way. And it will continue, Sam, to answer your question, until they make it stop. And you make it stop by hard arrests, hard times, and letting cops do their jobs in situations of riot. I'm old enough to remember, if you were rioting, if you were engaged in an actual riot, there could be lethal punishment for that where you stood. That used to be how you put down a riot. Now you just coddle them.
All right, let's get into this in more detail, ladies and gentlemen. People are trying to do something, but if they're not backed by Americans, it's going to be trouble. We'll talk about it. Sam Bushman, James Edwards.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things, and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, California. I will bring action against Maxine Waters for inciting violence if Speaker Pelosi doesn't act against this dangerous rhetoric. I will bring action this week. So he's threatening to bring action against Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. Maxine for inciting violence, Nancy for dangerous rhetoric. The sad part is, I believe in free speech, James. And there's a fine line between speech and action. And they want you to believe that Donald Trump crossed it into insurrection territory. But I submit to you that he didn't. But I do believe you have your right to free speech, but I don't believe it knows no bounds. Okay, when you literally go into the middle of a mob and you literally ratchet up rhetoric that would incite violence while a court case is in process or while a jury trial is in process, that's a whole lot different. When you are Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and you say, hey, her rhetoric's fine. Her actions are fine. I see no problem here. No harm, no foul. She means it in the spirit of, you know, just making all things fair. The ends justify the means kind of a thing. Don't worry. You know, it's kind of like the 60s. They just want justice and fairness and equity and equality. And okay, we have gone to a new level. There is a fine line, though. I don't believe you have unlimited free speech. But I'm having a little bit of a hard time with McCarthy. What kind of action would Kevin take is the question. And what will that do if we have this situation that chills the cops and no one wants to be a cop anymore and cops start resigning left and right because they're like, hey, why would I take this on? And then if you have free speech to where we chill free speech enough, where do we end up? There's no good answers when the people are immoral, but where do we end up with this? I have a hard time agreeing with McCarthy. Even though I understand and agree with the point, I think she's gone too far. But where's that line? And how do we teach people to understand it, sir?
Yeah, this is a tricky question, Sam, because in a healthy, decent, God-fearing, law-abiding society, we would be able to hang our hat on our principles. And it's a good thing to be able to do that. It's the right thing to be able to do that. And so what I mean by our principles is we don't want to have a double standard with regard to how we react to the way the media went after Donald Trump versus Maxine Waters, because neither of them gave a direct call for violence. I do think that obviously the context was different because Maxine Waters made these comments in the middle of a mob whose adherents had been known for this over the course of a year. And when you're telling Black Lives Matter, we got to get more confrontational, that can only really mean one thing. There's not really two ways to see that. You would have to twist, you do a little mental gymnastics in order to convince yourself that what Trump said caused lawless action. But yes, at the same time, if we believe Trump shouldn't have gotten the treatment, it's, you know, even though Maxine's is a little more in your face, you got to say, well, free speech. The only problem is, Sam, is that our enemies, those who really seek our imprisonment and our death, really, if you want to be honest, they never bother themselves with principles. Yay, Donald Trump deserves to go to prison and be impeached for what he said. Maxine Waters is completely off the hook. That's their principle. Their principles are take what you can and give nothing back. Their principles are might makes right. Our people are we're going to give immunity to the people we hate. We're going to apply a different set of standards. That's their principle. And it's very difficult for conservatives to win on a playing field that is that unlevel. We go in thinking law and order, principles. They go in thinking whatever they can do to destroy us. And that is why I think the left has run roughshod over conservatives for several generations now, really maybe since the founding of the Republic, is because we have this sense of law and order and fair play that they do not have. They do not have it. They are not interested in it. And that's why we always lose. Now, with regards to Kevin McCarthy, you know, it's easy for Kevin McCarthy to do this because it's all in vain. It's not going to go anywhere, and he knows it's not going to go anywhere because the Republicans don't control the White House, the Senate, or the House. So he can do something like this for vanity's sake, and it's just going to it's going to lose, just like the vote to censure Maxine Waters lost 216-210. If you don't have any power, you can say whatever you want to, and it's not going to go anywhere. If the Republicans actually had the ability to do something with Waters and he pushed this, I would be a little more surprised. It's easy to push it when you know it's not going to go.
All right, so here's my take on all this. I'm going to double down, and I'm going to defend Maxine Waters, and I'm going to defend Nancy Pelosi in their right to say what they think and believe and want to say. So I don't agree with them at all. I'm a gazillion 100% in disagreement with their comments. However, I will defend their right to say it. Now, you could say, Sam, but they've gone too far. I know. I agree. But I will also say, though, that, you know what? We need to see a pattern. You would say, well, with Nancy, Maxine, we have a pattern. I know, but not a pattern that crosses the line. She's committed no violent acts. You can debate and say, well, she was telling me that we need to really step it up and hold the police accountable. We really need to step it up and confront these people and let them know that it's not acceptable for cops to kill people. You know what? That's acceptable. So the problem with speech is when you take that and suggest that action relates to speech, you've created a quantum leap. And let me give you a comparison. I am not responsible for Adam's transgression. I didn't eat the apple, to make it very simple. And therefore, I'm not accountable for that. I'm responsible for my own sins and my own life and my own. Okay, same thing's true here. If somebody commits an act of violence, they need to be criminally prosecuted. If somebody destroys property or does this or that, or okay, same. You know, you should be able to say what you want to say. So I'm going to defend Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi in their right to say what they want. Because remember, the First Amendment's a double-edged sword. So quickly, your head will spin. And I'm not going to defend Trump to say what he wants to say and then attack these guys and say, wait a minute, they can't say that. They've gone too far. Because both sides would claim both sides went too far. I personally would agree. Civility, which I stand for, would call for a kind of a ratcheting back, a dialing down of the rhetoric, an effort to say, let's try to, you know what, agree to disagree agreeably. And I'm going to give you an example to prove the point. I've got a good buddy of mine. His name is Cliff Kincaid. I've known him forever. He used to be involved with Accuracy and Media with Reed Irvine and everything years and years and years ago. I've helped him with his talk show as a talk show host for years in the past. I've had him on. We're good friends. I love the guy dearly. He normally speaks out against vaccines, and he's done a lot of research against vaccines, and he's held literally events against vaccines and everything. He believes that Donald Trump's Fast and Furious, that Donald Trump's Operation Warp Speed on vaccines, he believes that to be legitimate, and he believes that the vaccine for the COVID is necessary. And he believes that, for the most part, vaccines aren't good. He believes people should have a choice relating to vaccines, but he really believes this vaccine is important, so he spoke out in defense of and promotion of these vaccines. Now, I could not disagree with Cliff Kincaid more. I don't think he's right. I think it's a very concerning development that he believes in him so strongly, because I think he's got a lot of good influence. His research is stellar. But I think he's wrong on this one. Well, here's the point. He emailed out and said, everybody's attacking me because of my pro stance along with Trump on vaccines. And people are saying that he's joined the dark side. People are saying that he's an enemy of liberty. People are putting threats on his life. People are literally going, you've now joined the deep state. Who's paying you off? I mean, they've made all kinds of, in my opinion, dishonest, unfair accusations. Okay, Cliff Kincaid's been in the liberty movement for a long time. I've been in it 25 plus years, and he was there when I got here. So the guy's been around, and he's got stellar research skills. He's a great guy. Now, why do I tell you this? Well, number one, I couldn't disagree with him more. But I can still defend his right to research and come to the conclusions that he's come to and defend him. In fact, I'm going to defend him so much that we're going to do a two-hour broadcast on Saturday. And the premise is we can agree to disagree agreeably and still have respect for one another and still have civility about us. We can make our points politely, respectfully, and then we can let the people decide what they think. Imagine that, James. And so I'm not defending Nancy and Maxine and you know, a lot of these people, Ocasio-Cortez and everything else, Michael Moore, Reverend Al Sharpton. I'm not defending all these people because of what they're saying. I completely disagree. But I think they have the right to think it and say it and believe it if they want to. And they, I hope, and I know they won't, but I hope they afford the same to me. Now, and this is what we really need to understand about America, folks. James?
Yeah, it's just a shame, Sam, that they will not reciprocate your generosity and your understanding. And that's why there's just going to have
to
be
some sort
of... And
then the American people, we got a break coming up, then the American people should politely remove them from the political stage of public opinion and say, you know what, if you're not willing to afford that to others, you're not welcome here. Not because we hate you, not because we'll violently remove you, but we'll just dismiss you by the court of public opinion. We need to learn to do that peacefully, ladies and gentlemen. This is America.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been found guilty of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd last year, the president of the United States.
Nothing can ever bring their brother, their father back. But this can be a giant step forward in the march toward justice in America.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, Alveda King, on Fox News agrees with the commander-in-chief.
I believe here in America with race relations, we are moving forward. I think the verdict was appropriate in some ways, but I was so disturbed when I watched with all of America as to what happened to George Floyd. It would have been unpardonable not to do something as far as those actions of Derek Chauvin.
We are USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Insurance giant Geico has announced a data breach for 3 months this year, exposing customers' personal information to hackers. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
A reported data breach at Geico is putting many customers' driver's license information at risk. A filing with the California Attorney General's office says a security lapse that lasted from January 21st to March 1st left an unspecified number of customers' information exposed to hackers. The insurance company warning the fraudsters could use the information to apply for bogus unemployment benefits in customers' names. Geico is offering customers a free one-year subscription to the theft protection software Identity Force in response to the hack.
Johnson & Johnson will resume its COVID-19 vaccine rollout in Europe, the company announced Tuesday, with adding packaging labels warning of a rare risk of blood clots. Europe's health regulator, the European Medicines Agency, said the vaccine's benefits outweigh the risk of the rare side effect. USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to disrupt James Edwards. I apologize. The commercial breaks come faster than we'd like. There's no doubt about that. You know what? So I'm not really as supportive of bringing action against Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and everything else. I get their rhetoric is, in my opinion, immoral, evil, and sick. But I think through the court of public opinion, we can shame these people politely off the stage. We can agree to disagree with them, and we can defend their right to say what they want. We can also defend our right to say, listen, we don't want to hear from you people anymore. I don't want you elected to office. I don't want you to be a commentator in the news. We're going to tune out if that's what you do. And we can politely, peacefully make our views known. And we, the people, need to get that done and do it yesterday. But again, I'm not going to play games and pick sides. I'm going to stand with the supreme law of the land. I'm going to defend the First Amendment, and I'm going to say, hey, Donald can say what he wants. I can say what I want. You can say what you want. Nancy and Maxine, and they can say what they want. But we can use our influence, though, to support or reject the views they espouse. And I think that we really need to have civility. So coming up this Saturday, a two-hour broadcast will be me and Cliff Kincaid, who completely disagree, but will do so agreeably. We'll lay out our arguments, or make our case points, if you will, in a polite debate-style discussion, and you can decide what you think. How's that, America? What if we did more of that in the media and in the news? I digress. Now, Maxine Waters, though, may have handed, and this is an interesting repercussion of your free speech. You can do this, but you know, you might violate laws in doing it. Okay, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater or whatever, right? Okay, well, Maxine Waters may have handed Derek Chauvin's team, the defense team, an appeal win in court. Now they might be able to appeal, saying, hey, people have been tampering with the juries and everything else. This conviction was wrong. Look at this. And has she just given him a possible appeal and win, James? I don't think so, but people are speculating this may be the case.
I've read that. I've even read some articles where people said it was very significant that the judge would offer up in his verbal decision there that, no, he wasn't going to declare a mistrial, but for the judge to actually go so far as to offer the defense by saying, I believe Maxine Waters has given you a great case for an appeal. They thought that that was noteworthy. However, I'm very jaded as a result of my experience in the courts. Our courts are criminally corrupt. I would like to believe that justice would be served, and justice wasn't served yesterday. Not in my opinion, not by any stretch of the imagination. I would like to think that some good could come of this, and that there would be an appeal that would work out in favor of Derek Chauvin. I just think it's wishful thinking. I think the best thing we can hope for is that he gets the minimum sentence of 12 and a half years.
Time will tell what's going to happen on this. I know it's so politically charged, though, that even if it does go to the appeal or appellate court, the likelihood of the appellate court taking it is very slim. And even if they do take it, it's very likely to just kind of add insult to injury in the court of public opinion in terms of promoting the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa and the rhetoric and the riot in the streets. In other words, as we keep these things center stage, again, the communist rhetoric ratchets up. The next stage of rage takes center stage. They're just going to keep this in the news. So I'm not really welcoming that either, because I think that that's their divide and conquer tactic. And the sooner Americans get back to business, shoulder to shoulder, to live their lives and to defend the freest country on the face of the earth, the better off we'll be. The next headline I find interesting in relation thereto as well says this: Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs new anti-riot legislation. The law criminalizes violent or disorderly riots obstructing roadways, destroying or toppling monuments, very interesting, and harassment in public accommodations. Now listen, it also prohibits state funding to local police departments, or I should say local governments that try to defund their police. So it does a ton of things. Let me kind of go over this again really quick. So it's going to make it illegal to have violent or disorderly riots, obstructing roadways, obstructing or toppling monuments, harassment in public places, also prohibits state funding to local governments that defund the police. Pretty bold move by Ron DeSantis. Is he right? Is he wrong? Is he on the cusp of what's going to happen across the country in red states? Blue states? Oh, yeah. Blue states, not red states? I mean, red state. What? What's going to happen? This is an interesting stroke of the pen by the Florida governor. James?
Listen, I'm all for it, 100%. Ron DeSantis also, of course, as you know, Sam, and as I'm sure your listeners know, has been one of the most stout about pushing back against the COVID tyranny and opening up Florida and doing a lot of great things with regard to his governorship over COVID. The only thing I would say is that everything that he just did, there's already laws on the books to stop people from blocking traffic on an interstate.
That's kind of where I'm going with this, James. Hold on, isn't this stuff already against the law?
Yeah, see, I mean, look, it's good. It's all well and good to strengthen laws or even add, I guess, more laws, but why aren't the laws on the books already sufficient enough to stop this? I mean, everything you just mentioned that he's cracking down on, there's already existing laws to keep that from happening. Still, I guess you would have to say his heart's in the right place. And as a matter of fact, I just got an email from a listener of the political cesspool who said he's going to be anxious to hear our take on it this Saturday night. And he said that Chauvin's best hope is that he'll be pardoned by President DeSantis in 2025, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, all of the things that Ron DeSantis has done, and I agree with most of them, and definitely have a favorable opinion of him overall, sets himself up to be, if he wants it, the Republican front runner in 2024, of course, depending on what Trump ends up doing. But I think other than Trump,
I can't decide if it'll be Governor Ron DeSantis or if it'll be South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem.
Probably DeSantis. I would say it would probably be DeSantis. I mean, Kristi does some good things too, but
I'd say what if South two governors Dakota, team up and one's VP and one's presidential pick?
Now that's a ticket that could win. I'll say just this: unless you always got to factor in demographics and all of these illegals that come over, that's a straight ticket voting registration drive for the Democrats. But it's teetering on a knife's edge. I mean, Texas, Georgia, Florida, all of these states, the Republicans have to win, and Georgia went into the enemy's camp last time. But all of these states are teetering on a knife's edge. I mean, just a percentage of the vote or less, but. Yeah, I mean, that's something. I mean, because, you know, the governor of South Dakota isn't too bad, too hard to look at. And she's a woman, so I guess that helps with certain demographics. And then DeSantis, one of the biggest states, one of the prize states, and he has been pretty strong about pushing back against Biden and the totalitarianism of the left. If Trump does not run, I think those are your ticket. That could be your ticket. And, by the way, at the recent CPAC meeting in January or February, whenever it was, a couple of months ago in Orlando, they had the CPAC straw poll, and your top three finishers were, in order, Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, and Kristi Noem. So that's interesting. And it's still a long way to go until the next presidential election cycle, but as you know, Sam, they start running in that first year.
It's not too long until we have 2022 elections for the House of Representatives kind of a thing, and some of the senators. I mean, you'll replace, what, the whole House and a third of the Senate kind of a thing, and that'll set the stage for what happens in 24. So, yes, it's far away, but it's not as far away as you think.
No, it's not. I mean, next year is the midterms. I mean, if you can believe it, next November is the midterms, and then they already are beginning in earnest to consider it, and then after the midterms, you get right back in. I mean, it's a two-year presidential election cycle.
Not that I think it should be, but the reality is they've turned it into that, and that's not going away anytime soon, by the way. Now, I understand that he signs new anti-riot legislation. I don't like the anti-riot term. I don't want to be anti-stuff. I want to be pro-stuff. I'm pro-peace. I'm not really anti-riot, although I guess it's one and the same, but it's kind of how you pitch it in the court of public opinion. Oh, these are the anti-guys now. But when does a... peaceful demonstration, when does a protest turn into a riot? And the law criminalizes what they call violent and or disorderly riots. Aren't those already like illegal? Obstructing roadways, and they do this all the time, right? Destroying the toppling monuments. They've been doing this for literally months in the country. James?
It's a staple of Black Lives Matter and Antifa behavior to block streets. I mean, that's just so commonplace now, you don't even consider it being a crime. But yes, I mean, okay, yeah, again, Sam, you go out there, me and you'll go out there with the Liberty News Radio audience, and we'll block traffic on, you know, a major interstate. Let's see how long we last.
Buddy, they'll haul us to the clink in about 5 seconds, my friend.
There you go.
All right, now, here's the other interesting thing. He talks about it's against harassment in public accommodations. Now, that's exactly what Maxine Waters was saying to do. Go into restaurants. Harass them. Don't let them. They're not welcome. Isn't that what she said? All right. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march That is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Black Lives Matter Utah founder. The guy's name is Scott Lack. We need police accountability and transparency. You know what? On some of that, I agree. I'm not going to defend the cops every time. Sometimes the cops are out of control. All right? Let's be very clear about this. I'm not always on the side of the people. Sometimes the cops are right, but I'm also not always on the side of the cops. I believe that this guy was aggressive. Okay? I agree that he was too aggressive. The guy was already down. He was already handcuffed. He was face down, I might add. Yeah, I don't know that he needed to hold him there for 9 minutes. I think it was over the top and not necessary. Plenty of cops around. The guy couldn't have done anything. He was handcuffed and everything else. So I think that the actions were belligerent, but I think that the claims of murder are belligerent and extreme and overstated as well. Now, you might come back and say, hey, Chauvin, you're not going to be a cop anymore, ever. You might even say, hey, we believe there was a manslaughter charge here. You were a little bit reckless. I don't agree with that. I'm just saying I can see. All right. But Black Lives Matter, Utah founder Lex Scott, we need police accountability and transparency. I think we need more of that. I think that there is some truth to cops can get radical unnecessarily. They don't think they answer to anybody. There is a problem with that. But what we don't need to do is get rid of all the cops and take this communist divide rhetoric. What we need to do is come back and say, hey, we need reform for the cops. No doubt. We need to get the bad apples out of there. No doubt. Chauvin probably shouldn't continue to be a cop, no doubt. But how far do we take this? And let me prove the point with this. They're literally going so far as to say that what? Chauvin is now guilty on all charges. Let me get this right. Second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter. Right, James?
That's it. All you know the difference in all those? Charges. Very negligibly.
What is second-degree murder and third-degree murder and manslaughter? In my opinion, if you commit second-degree murder, isn't that like higher than third degree? And isn't third degree higher than manslaughter?
That's what I believe. To my
all right. So my question is:
knowledge
doesn't second-degree murder already then kind of trump or third-degree murder and manslaughter? It's kind of like and Cameron, a producer, brought this up on the break. He's like, I stole a candy bar from the store. Sam Bushman stole it. And, you know, the problem is Sam stole it, and we're going to get him for stealing it. We're going to get him with intent to steal the candy bar. We're going to get him with lying about stealing the candy bar. We're going to get him for eating the candy bar after eating a stolen candy bar. Hey, there now. You don't eat those stolen candy bars. Eating a stolen candy bar, that's a crime, don't you know? Because you shouldn't eat those things that are stolen, right? And you go around the barn, and you stack these charges to where it becomes insanity. And then, of course, James is guilty because James likes candy bars, don't you, James? See,
yeah, I love
and now
bar.
Guilt by association, buddy. You're a candy bar stealing, supporting kind of man. And okay, where do we go with this? And all I'm telling you is, in my opinion, I'm not a legal expert, but I know this. If you're guilty of second-degree murder, I don't know that I can say you're guilty of third-degree murder, too. What about fourth-degree murder and fifth-degree and sixth? Well, Sam, there's none of those in the law. Well, there ought to be, by golly. We ought to have 99th-degree murder and just stick it to him, for crying out loud. Make new laws. Let's get 99th-degree murder going on. Okay, where does it end, and how do you stack these charges? It's not honest. It's not moral. It's not the rule of law. It's called double jeopardy all at once, quadruple jeopardy all at once. Let's see what stick mode. I reject it, James. The whole idea is anti-American.
I agree. And the only sense I could make of it was that they had all of these redundant charges in hopes that they could get the jury to hang him on one, at least the manslaughter charge. But yes, if you get convicted of second-degree murder, that makes, to me, the convictions of third-degree and manslaughter obsolete. And again, now you had so-called legal experts on Fox News saying that if he got convicted of all of the charges, he would go away for life. Whereas if he got convicted of just manslaughter, it would be, a decade or so. However, that's not what Jared Taylor is reporting. Now, Jared Taylor is the Yale-educated graduate, a very smart guy, regular guest of mine and a friend of ours. And he writes in his article breaking down the verdict that, and I would trust, honestly, I would trust Jared Taylor more than the Fox News so-called experts. Jared writes, under Minnesota law, Mr. Chauvin will be sentenced under only the most serious charge. It carries a maximum sentence of 40 years.
And hold on,
years.
Stop. I agree that Jared Taylor, from an attorney point of view, is right, but they're throwing out all law in this case.
Well, see, now that's where the plot thickens.
They don't care about
Sam?
Law,
there's the
buddy.
Rub.
They're just going to jettison all that and say, man, the end justify the means. This guy's, it was a hate crime on steroids, buddy. You got to just stack those charges. Then you got to push for the most extreme limits you could possibly get. And, I appreciate his point, and I don't disagree from a legal point of view, but they're not interested in that.
Well,
they've
if
already
they
convicted
follow,
him on all charges without proof.
And this is a huge if, because as you just mentioned, laws don't really influence decisions in courts anymore. Imagine that they might. But the sentence of second-degree murder, now that was the most serious charge. That the maximum sentence on that one is 40 years. But, so he could do 40 years. But according to state guidelines, a first offense is supposed to get 12 and a half years. So because Derek Chauvin had never committed a crime, he's a first-time offender, he's only supposed to get 12 and a half years. Now, a lot of times people think that judges can just go in and, whatever I'm feeling today, I'm going to hand out this sentence. Judges are supposed to only be able to give you the sentence that is dictated by the law. Judges don't just go in, if you don't know how this works or how it's supposed to work, judges aren't supposed to just go in, I'll give you 40 years, I'll give you 60 years. Well, you today, I'm feeling pretty generous, I'll give you 20 years. No, there are
hey, if you give me one of them stolen candy bars, I'm going to make it 10 years. I like candy bars.
The judges are supposed to only be able to give a sentence that matches what the state guidelines are. So, if the rule of law is followed, if we know Chauvin is first-time offender, he's supposed to get 12 and a half years for this. However, as you mentioned,
yeah,
Sam,
but I'm telling you right now, everybody will riot in the streets and melt the whole country down if you only do 12 years, buddy. You better stick it to him or pay.
He's going to, Judge Peter Cahill is going to pass sentence 8 weeks from now. So in 8 weeks, we'll know. But yes, the prosecution is already going in for enhancers and they're going in for, I can't remember the exact terminology they use. So they're going in for some enhancements.
Check this out. Here's the difference on this second degree, third degree stuff. Listen to me carefully. First degree murder is I planned it, I intended it, I did it. It's hardcore, in your face, just murder. Second degree murder means the killer didn't really intend. Well, they meant to kill the victim, but they didn't mean to prior to the act. In other words, they didn't plan it and everything else. It is in the middle of it, they intended to, but they didn't really plan it, and it wasn't premeditated kind of stuff. Third degree murder is also known as voluntary manslaughter, meaning the act leading to death was voluntary, but the resulting death was not. The reckless and intent needed to prove second degree is missing. In other words, this idea that, so it has to do with intent. Did you long-term intend this and plan it? Did you not really plan it, but you intended to kill the victim and you did? Or did you not intend at all? Okay, I think the manslaughter charge might make some sense. He didn't really intend to kill anybody. He took action that resulted in a death that he did not intend. That may be true, but that's even in debate and not proven beyond the shadow of a doubt. So see, but if you have a second degree, I don't see how you get third. Because they're contradicting. Yeah, one says I intended to kill him. The other one says I didn't intend to kill him. Which is it, people? Okay. And so what I mean is we've got a problem legally with this, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, James. We've got a problem with this, though, because it's contradictory, legally speaking.
I had not dug that deep into it. I'm actually going to use that. You are, and there is no doubt about
this
that.
This is Liberty Roundtable think tank, ladies and gentlemen.
I am going to use this on the show because, of course, my co-host is an attorney, so we'll get his opinion on this. But this is fascinating to me, Sam. I think we all know first degree murder is you plan it, you go out, you do it. It's premeditated. So, but it was interesting about second and third degree murder. The distinctions that you just put out there. The second degree means you decided to do it while you're in the middle of the act. Third degree meant you didn't intend to do it at all. So how can it be guilty of both simultaneously? It's just again, and I'm also going to use your I didn't eat the apple quip about Adam. But yeah, so how could the jury say he both planned it and didn't plan it? I mean, so it just goes to show.
Well, you understand he's white, so you can say that. It's all due to racism, don't you know, James? You can say anything you want. All leads lead to the racism.
Well, I think this, again, it gives credence to the fact, my hypothesis, that the jury was so scared. And it was an interesting jury. We don't know. There was 6 whites, 4 blacks, 2 people who identified as bi or multiracial. And again, we don't know their politics.
7 women, 5 men.
Impossible. So it was a pretty distinct mix. But you don't know the politics. But it's hard to believe that the politics didn't influence their decision here. But I think in some of the cases, surely some of the people on that jury would have thought, man, you know, if we don't give him everything we can give him, there's a chance that they're going to come burn out my house. And they'd be right
sad
to think that because
true.
We've seen the precedent.
And we know they're likely to dox you, too, so don't think that you have anonymity at all. Beware of that as well. Now, James, last headline before the end of the hour. You ready? Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, of all people, wrote an incredible article called A Border Boiling Over. And in this column, he proceeds just to say, look, with all this going on, we're just titillated with this. The border leaks like a sieve, letting criminals just run. We got sex trafficking, murder, rape, pillage, plunder, illegal activity, mobs, drug cartels, all just literally melting down the border. A border boiling over. While we debate this single case of this single guy that died because he passed a fake, He passed fake money, and then he got in a little tip with the cops. He was on drugs and he was high and delusionary, and he kind of went crazy. And they held him down too long, and he died. And it's a sad thing. And don't misunderstand me, but you've got the border crisis flat out being ignored right now. Well, this is all going down, buddy, and Tony Perkins calls it out just right. Final thoughts to you, James.
Yeah, Tony Perkins has done good work. He's another one that's facing deplatforming and all of the, God forbid you be a Christian and a conservative. But I was just going to say with regards to the jury and doxing, I mean, it would have come out if there was even, all it took was one. All it took was one to hang that jury or get a mistrial or whatever, but not even one of them had the courage to do what I think at least some of them had to know was right. You talk about doxing, though, you don't know the dynamics of the jury. There could have been some BLM supporters on there that, you know who each other are as jurors. Who could have said it wouldn't have been other jurors themselves that would have doxed you? That's a difficult proposition to know that your very life would be in danger if you didn't give the mob the
verdict. I've got one answer, James. We the people need to repent and pray for our republic, buddy. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen. Now let's start.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. The 2-hour breakdown from Sam Bushman and James Edwards regarding this senseless killing. On one hand, intentional or not, debatable. But this reality check about the legal conundrum therein was the difference between second and third degree murders. Did he intend to do it? Did he not intend to do it? It can't be both now. Maybe I'm not a great legal mind, and that's my problem. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. For Sam and James, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America, but you got to get involved. LibertyRoundtable.com, ThePoliticalCesspool.org. God save the Republic.